Okay, so thank you all again for joining. My name is Nina Hong. I'm a Senior Policy Associate with Michigan's Children, and we are really excited today to join you guys during this week where we celebrate babies. And today we're going to focus specifically on how we can strengthen our advocacy voices on behalf of the children and families that we work with day to day to ensure that public policies are really taking them into consideration. I did end up muting everyone to try to minimize background noise, so if you'd like to ask a question, if you can just send me a quick message, I'll try to keep an eye on the chat function so you all can pipe in as needed. For those unfamiliar, Michigan's Children is a statewide independent voice. We're based here in Lansing, and we're working to ensure that public policies are made in the best interest of children, youth, and their families. From cradle to career, with a specific focus on policy priorities that can reduce disparities in child and family outcomes. We specifically focus on strategies that can reduce equity, or increase equity, across child outcomes. And so for me and Michigan's Children, what that means is ensuring not that all kids have equal access to everything, but rather what kinds of services do kids who face more significant challenges need so that they can have equitable opportunities to thrive. And I think this little graphic here just does a good job of showing what that means. And so in terms of equity, for example, on the right-hand side, you can see that the shorter boy has access to two blocks to be able to see over the fence there to watch the baseball game. And similarly, from a public program perspective, for example, if you think about the tall boy, maybe his family is pretty well off and comfortable, and so they can pay for high quality childcare for their kid, and it does everything that they need it to do. Maybe the child in the middle comes from a low income family, and so they access the childcare subsidy to help support the programs or the early childhood services that they need access to. Whereas maybe the child on the right also has some significant trauma that he's experienced, and so maybe in addition to receiving child care assistance through the state, perhaps he's also receiving infant mental health services to ensure that he can stay in that child care setting and is really able to thrive in that high quality option. So that's just an example of what we talk about at Michigan's Children when we talk about equitable public policies. Part of the reason why I really look to you all to really help us strengthen our advocacy voice is because we know that Michigan is still struggling when it comes to the well-being of our children and families in our state. And I know there may be one or two people on the line from other states, and so I apologize that this is Michigan-focused, but I think a lot of the advocacy strategies laid out are probably things that you can also use in your own state and definitely, obviously, with your congressional members as well. We talk a lot about in Michigan that there is actually quite minimal movement in child and family outcomes, which is impacted by many things, including sort of our stagnating poverty levels when it comes to child poverty. We've seen teeny tiny increases since the last year, but whether or not that's a trajectory, it's too soon to tell. Michigan does continue to see growing child abuse and neglect rates. And we've seen minimal outcomes in terms of health. As you all know, we struggle with education outcomes. And quite frankly, there is a lack of political will around supporting infants and toddlers, given our current political climate. And we also know that there's some disconnect between the issues themselves, right? And so when we talk about things like the legislature focusing on third grade reading, sometimes the focus is so much on the kindergarten through third grade intervention that not enough is talked about earlier, especially in those first 3 years. And so why is there such a disconnect? There's a lot of competition for a few dollars. As you all know, Michigan is required to have a balanced state budget. And so that means when our economy is struggling to recover, then there's fewer dollars that need to go to a lot of different spaces. And as our economy has started to rebound, there's obviously many different spaces where public resources to go, and there's competing interests in terms of the role of government, and oftentimes policymakers just don't hear enough from people who are actually on the ground and seeing the challenges that families face and where they should be making their priorities in terms of their public investments. this webinar is really about how do you strengthen your own advocacy voice, and how do you move your concerns into action, how do you influence policymakers for change, and then how can you change attitudes and behaviors. You know, obviously, one very obvious thing that's coming up down the pipeline is the elections, and that's a real, you know, voting is such an easy way to take some of your concerns into action by deciding who you want to represent you at the local level here in Lansing and in Washington, D.C. But that's only one step, because after you vote for elected officials, you then have to hold them accountable because we all are their bosses as their constituents. And so that is just one thing that I will say before November 8th comes flying around. And then, you know, you really should be getting involved in advocacy because you can. You already have the skills you need to become really effective and strong advocates. And really, as a democracy that we live in, it's really critical that we hold policymakers accountable for what we need them to be doing on behalf of their constituents. Unfortunately, they don't hear enough from us, and we don't always understand everything that they're talking about. And I think this little graphic is a great illustration of how you know, things can get convoluted during the process in terms of a bill becoming a law. And you can see, you know, that bottom right tire swing was what was actually needed, and all of the different iterations in terms of what policymakers did, how it was understood, or even how it was funded. And so this is exactly the reason why your voices and the voices of the families that you work with are so critically important to the public policy making process, because you can ensure that the tire swing being the ultimate need is very clear to policymakers and help them make sure that that's what they're working towards. And so how do we make the changes that we want? Well, first we have to get attention, the attention of the people who we know can make the difference, who can make that change, right? And so first of all, you could obviously, you need to talk to policymakers or to decision makers about concerns you have in your life and concerns you have in work. And you also have to talk to other people about, you know, the issues that matter to you and about how to act. So thinking about not only who do you want to influence and what other like-minded people can you bring together to help create that change. And so really these are the four main points, right? So what are the issues? Who can give us what we want? When do we target them, and how do we get them to listen? And as I said, I think this is a skill set that you all already bear. One example that I often like to illustrate is, you know, if you think about, I imagine many of you are parents. If you think about perhaps maybe your child who's really eyeing a new pair of shoes, maybe they know that so they know what they want, right? They want these new pair of shoes, and they know in their home maybe mom makes a lot of the financial decisions, but perhaps if your son could get dad on his side, dad could help persuade mom. And so maybe your son is savvy enough to understand that, you know, asking dad to help him convince mom to buy the shoes right when he comes home from work isn't the best time. So maybe he'll let dad come home from work and, you know, kick off his shoes and sit, take a seat in the living room. Maybe the son will bring dad a beer. And when he's feeling a little bit less stressed out from his work day, maybe then he'll talk to him about these pair of shoes he wants. He might even say that he knows that, you know, Black Friday is coming up and they'll be on a deep discount then, and he'll help save up, you know, half of the cost of the shoes when they're on sale if dad could help him pay for the rest of the shoes, knowing that dad will then have to talk to mom about it, right? And so you can see how the son is already thinking through strategies, and I'm sure some of you guys see this in your own home, and all that to say that these are skills that kids already have, and these are skills that you all already have as well. And it's just about knowing, like I said, who can make the change you want and who are the people that you need to help you with in that process, and understanding the message. And so for family issues and children's issues, you all already know the issues, right? Because you are the experts in the work that you do, and you work with families every single day. And for us, we have to remember that when we talk to policymakers, not only do we need to talk to them about the issues, but bringing them solutions is just as important. right? So for example, the son who wanted the new pair of shoes, his solution was that he would pay for half when the shoes were on sale. We also want to know who the players are, so who can make the change and what influences them, and who do we need and who do we know, right? And so just like the son knew that mom was the ultimate decision maker, but dad could help him, and that he could get dad to help him when dad was a little bit more relaxed, was really strategic on the son's part. And so capitalizing on the relationships that we already have, which